1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Friends, welcome to another episode of Recovery. Today is one of our episodes we haven't done in a while, which is the two of us just chat about what's been going on. So I'm Sarah Heath, and this is
Justin Gentry. I think I know my name better when we don't have a guest. I think that's it. I think I'm nervous.
Do you get nervous? Is that what it is? Actually, I have been listening to a bunch of podcasts this week, and it is absolutely normal for the other person. So I'm thinking we can do what I've heard other podcasts people do, is they introduce the other one. That might be our way to go. So everybody, you're just watching the behind the scenes of how, which is actually kind of our topic tonight, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah. So that makes sense. We have been thinking a lot about, it's fall. It is, there's a lot going on in the world. I don't know if you've noticed, Justin.
Yeah, there's a lot. And it's a lot that's like in our former, well, I guess our current former area of expertise,
right?
Somewhat,
which is
touches upon it.
Christian evangelicalism and even mainline stuff. There's just a lot going on, and we were sort of thinking through, because we had just been at Theology Bear Camp, where we were with a bunch of people who their career is this, like speaking on this stuff, being present to it. And we recently had a gathering of our Discord folks, and we were talking about this idea of like, what is our place within, as former clergy or former pastors, what is our place within the commenting section? Or like, do we need to comment and make declarations on everything that's going on in the world? Is that good for our mental health? Is it even what the world is asking of us? So many of our friends who are former clergy have this like, almost like they feel compelled or a need to like add to the news, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of like, I'll say moralizing on either end of it too. Mm. You know, there's people that are like, if you don't say something, you're part of the problem. Like,
right?
Okay, Janice, maybe sit down on Facebook for a second.
We do have a friend, Janice, but we're not talking about her specifically.
That was literally just the first name that popped in my head. I was not imagining the incredible Janice Legata.
She's amazing.
She can speak on anything she wants.
She has full rights of speaking.
Yes.
Not that she needs us to give it to her. She's incredible.
No, she does not need that. But no, she was not who I was thinking of. I think I was actually thinking more of the character from Friends. Was it Janice or Janet? I don't remember. The girlfriend who was, you know, the really annoying one. Anyway, that's who I was thinking of. You know, but there are folks that kind of like are like moralize the whole like you have to speak up. But then right. There are also people that kind of moralize the whole like, why are you talking about this? You don't know. You're just another person. And so. And I think we can get caught in that. And so it's like, I don't know that, because for me, at least, I'll just speak for myself. I tend to learn in public, which is very good, but also very problematic at times, in the sense that I learn in dialogue with other people, which lends itself more to, quote, speaking up, whereas other people, maybe wiser people, they can do their learning just in a room by themselves. I don't know how that works, but. And so I think it's like I've had to learn to make space for all kinds in that way, and make space for folks that like that are like me, that they kind of like have to say something in order to even like learn about the thing, and folks that don't say something. And I think there's just a lot of moralizing that goes on that we just need to take a step back from and just realize that like the world is incredibly complex and people are going to learn in different ways. But also, you know, there are times to be quiet and there's times to speak up. For all of us.
I was just thinking,
trying to figure that out.
I feel in my body the same way. So a Sunday would come and something major would have happened, right? And The example I have is like after the election of 2016, you know, Sunday comes and I look out and, you know, I've got queer folks in my community. I've got, you know, all kinds of diversity there. And I knew that people were in a state of grief. And because it had felt like the whole race was just so, you know, filled with like animosity and like terrible, terrible. 2016's election was rough. And I'm seeing these people traumatized and I just couldn't not speak, right? And so I said, you know, at the top of, I mean, I literally just sort of let my heart show. And like, I actually cried at the start. I was like, we are in, I think I knew then, like, this is a pivotal moment. And, but there were times after that where things would happen on a, we'll say a Saturday night. And I would be like, okay, I think as someone who should be making like prophetic, or I'm people are wondering what I think about this. And that's like, sounds really narcissistic. People are wondering, but people really were like,
they were.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when I try to go into my own body now and see like, what am I actually feeling? I feel that a little bit on social media and I shut down because I don't want to post about my, you know, and I do, I post about my life when there's so much tragedy happening in Gaza, everything that was happening with Hamas. I mean, just devastation. And then there's still, you know, mass shootings and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, I want to comment on it, but is it my place? And then I go into my body. It feels the same way, this performative, careful not to be performative, Sarah, like be thoughtful in this stuff. And it was interesting for me to hear from some of the folks in our Discord that they also feel this sense of like, I'm not a pastor anymore, but there are folks who still wonder what I think. And so I was wondering if we could think through how do we help ourselves not just be performative about like, oh, I should weigh in on this, but also be an ally. Like, where are the places and spaces? And then like, what are your practices that kind of keep you grounded so that you're not just like, you know, doing the same thing again, be pastoring without getting paid. You know what I mean? Like being the person who people ask these things of, if that is something that still happens for you.
Yeah. I mean, we all pastored while being underpaid.
Yeah.
Like,
fair.
Yeah. I think, well, it is interesting because it becomes this almost like this reflex in you, like where, I mean, and you joke about pastors, like the reflex turning everything into a sermon illustration or whatever, like, but like, there's this kind of reflex to be like, this thing is happening and XYZ people are interested in what I have to say. And I need to, like, for lack of a better term, prepare a statement.
Right. Which is weird because we're not celebrities.
You know, but in a local church context, you are a local celebrity. I mean, the most like local, micro, tiny kind of thing, but it's like, I mean, in a healthy community, it's, you know, it's where you're the person that people turn to for guidance, you know. In an unhealthy community, you're the person people turn to for what to think.
Right.
And, but either way, it's like people are looking to you. And when suddenly people aren't, or maybe it's like a more informal, like former people that were in your congregation are looking, but most aren't or whatever. It can be kind of weird because, and we've talked about this before, when, you know, you kind of do have to wear a mask a bit in ministry. You have to become another person. You have to perform a role, even if you don't feel like it. And so I think it can be this interesting task in figuring out, like, is this part of me? Is this like speaking up or speaking out or announce or preparing a statement? Is this me? Or is it just another part of this performance that,
well, I love that
I'm now doing for free?
Is this me?
You know, and that's a good question to ask. I think for me, I post a lot less. I definitely post a lot differently if I'm on the internet. I tend to check in more with like people personally,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And less in the kind of like broad blast. I still do some of that. I'm a white man with two podcasts. I definitely like to have my opinions aired out in the internet and the world, you know, but I try to be a little more measured, especially on things that are incredibly complex or difficult. Or honestly, I just don't feel like fighting. Like I don't post much to Facebook anymore, mostly because it's like anything that I would have to say on that platform would probably just end up with stealing way too much of my energy.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't a fight, even if it's just well-meaning people asking questions, it's like, I'm not paid to do that for you anymore. And I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, it's an interesting thought about this, like, who gives us the authority to speak on certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like this last couple of years has been like, before I couldn't say things about things because it would come across as the opinion of the church, like my community, mm-hmm. Or United Methodism as a whole, right? Like, but I still did when it came to like certain things that I was like, I don't care. Like, I need you to know, like, this is an atrocious. This is, you know, but I wonder how much residual and like, I don't know how to explain it, but like other people's difficulties, which are super important. And as an empathetic person, it just like comes onto me. And so then I do feel like, okay, I need to make a comment but I also wonder like, I love that question of, is this me, or is this me filling a role that I feel like I should fill? Not that I feel like I want to fill, but I feel like I should fill. I think that's a great grounding practice in anything. Like, why am I doing this? I think why am I doing this is a good question to ask about so much.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of different people say, you know, things like, if you can't stand the heat, don't send the tweet.
Like, what are we calling the tweet now?
I call it the tweet. You know, I'm sorry.
Like, if you have X as the thing, are you Xing?
I still go to twitter.com. Okay. I don't know what this X thing is, but I go to twitter.com and I tweet there.
Is there an X.com? I just have so many questions.
There is. Yeah. And but you type in twitter.com and it takes you to the bird site. And even though there's no birds on there, it's still the bird site.
Okay, cool.
I refuse to call it anything else now. But to me, that's kind of a grounding practice for myself. That's like, okay, I have a hot take here. It's probably pretty good, you know, but do I have the energy or the bandwidth to actually babysit this thing when it gets inevitable pushback, when, you know, whoever finds it? And is that a good use of my time? Because I'm not paid to do this.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, and for me, you know, I do have a full-time job. I have hobbies. I have children. I have friends. Like, at a certain point, it's like, this isn't my job. Mm-hmm. I've had to do that even in small things. Like, I used to be really into, like, watching the, like, Apple announcements or whatever. You know, like, when the new iPhone announcement's like, oh, I'm going to check out the iPhone announcement. Like, Justin, you are not a tech reporter. Like, you do not need to sit through this. And so I don't anymore. But I think sometimes just asking my question, like, what is my role here?
Right.
Like, what is the, you can just say, like, I'm doing it because I want to do it. It doesn't have to be this big, profound mission statement. It can just be like, this feels good to me in this moment. That's a valid enough reason for a lot of things, not everything, but a lot of things. But if it's like, oh, I'm being performative, or I need to attention.
Yeah, I guess that's it, right?
It's like used to having a platform.
Yeah. So I guess that's what I'm saying is, like, it feels like it becomes autopilot, and autopilot is the problem for me anyway. Like, if I'm going to be authentic and real, I think reacting is important, right? But there is also like the awareness that you can't in some ways go back to just being a layperson, that there will always be. I think we lie to ourselves. I lied to myself anyway for a while, thinking like, oh, I can just go. And obviously I'm a girl who has a podcast. So clearly the same. I like, you know, I've got some thoughts, people, but I just want to take us into, you know, the work I've done over the last year. I just want to take us into being aware of our bodies, being aware of what we are doing, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like we have spent like on autopilot. And then, you know, this need to be an expert is something that I want to check in with. And particularly, I think about the men who I know who have left ministry and they're expected to be an expert. And so they like launch a thing where they're an expert right away. You know, I just got my coaching credential this week, guys. So the experience of like my fear and even advertising that I do. So I've done hundreds of hours of coaching in order to get my coaching credential. Then I had to like take an actual test, right? But I know a lot of people who just like hang up a shingle and they're like, hey, I'm a coach. I don't necessarily think that's bad, but I wonder, for me, I feel like I had to get the accreditation. I had to get the years of experience. I had to have a mentor. I had to go through all of that because being an expert, and maybe it's because I'm a woman, but I feel like being an expert in a field requires accreditation for me. And that is a very privileged, used to schooling type of person, right? There's all kinds of implications in that.
Well, I think I can speak for myself. I think one of the best things for me was having about a 3 or 4 year cooling off period.
Yeah.
After ministry. And there's reasons for that, some of which I just didn't have the hustle and other ones are just circumstantial, but I didn't have a big following. I didn't have, I didn't launch a podcast or, you know, Instagram account that was like,
it was a different time.
Former pastor tells all, you know, like, yeah, it was also a different time. The internet was different, but I think that was, looking back, that was really good for me and kind of gave me a lot of perspective on the work I do now that I don't think I would have because I needed to come off of it. Like I needed to like, and if I look back at my online life and my personal life during that season, it was not good. Like, you know, I mean, I was still trying to be not knowing it, but trying to be a pastor, trying to have authority in people's lives. I mean, not in an exploitive way, but just kind of like speaking from a place that's like, is this really your place to speak from anymore? And it was good for me to have to work through that. And that would be my encouragement to anyone. Like if you find yourself out of ministry, maybe don't start the next thing. The next ministry, quote unquote, just yet. Maybe flip burgers for a bit, you know, find a trade or find a job, like, you know, beg for one if you have to, because that's what most of us have to do after ministry.
And that's not because
do something not ministry. That would just be my encouragement. And that's not to say everyone that launches straight into the thing is problematic or everyone that cools off isn't. It's just more like for me, and I think for a lot of folks, it was really helpful to have a period of exile, for lack of a better term.
I think it comes off a little bit more authentic. I was thinking through the last couple of years, and I wouldn't say I had a cooling off period. I never really like disappeared, but I kind of did a little bit. And my work is definitely been a little bit more private. And I feel like I'm about to be a little bit more public with stuff that I do, like coaching and also like, you know,
you went to Bend to like work on an Airstream.
Yeah,
like
that's, I did disappear.
It counts.
Yeah. I mean, it was only 3 months, 4 months, but I definitely, and I kept doing it. So I did it like a couple of times. I did it twice.
Yeah.
But I think for me anyway, I feel sometimes guilty that I'm not in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just want to like, sometimes you create the thing you need, right? I just want to give people permission to ask themselves the question of like, is this me or is this me trying to satisfy the thing that I once was, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also want to encourage you to like investigate authenticity. I think by that, I mean, like when you think about accounts or even if you're not on social media, when you think about people that you're encountering, who are the people that feel authentic? Right. It's a non-curated experience of just like, oh, like this person is clearly present to me in this moment and isn't like trying to make this into a sermon illustration or, you know, going to use this later for content. Like we are together in this moment. And I think that's a real fear.
Yeah. Everything is a sermon illustration to everything is content pipeline is
yeah
real short.
And I feel it. I want you to know I feel it. So when I hiked Mount Whitney, I had so many experiences that I thought I should share and I just didn't. And I keep telling myself I'm going to share those things. But for some reason, there was something particularly important for me for letting it like thaw a little. It's what you're talking about, right? Like not immediately being like this thing, you know, and then I feel guilt about it. Like, oh, you're just exhausted. Maybe I am just exhausted of creating content, you know, but I just want to encourage people if they're feeling that rub, especially right now when things are super chaotic. It's interesting. I've noticed that you've been working out a lot more. Do you not a lot more, but you've always worked out a lot, but you have, do you think some of that is related to just sort of finding that like grounding space?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could work out more, not because I like, it's not even like I want to get stronger or aesthetics thing. It's just more of like it's really good for me. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's kind of shifted for me too. Like I want to be able to move well and I want to be strong and I want to have good mental health like for a long time. And so that's more of it for me. And I try to, when I do post about it, I try to like skew it that way a little bit. Like, cause for me, it's just, that's what it is. And it is frustrating that human bodies require so much effort to keep them going.
I know, it's because we're not in the trades. Let me tell you, like today I was underneath my Airstream and I was like, my arms hurt. And I was like, why do my arms hurt? I was like, oh, cause Friday you were working on the Airstream and it was a lot of physical labor, like hammering and like bending. And I also, you know, had my class that I teach. I had my kids. And so their project was a little bit more labor intensive and carrying like literally a bin full of their like marquee stars they're making. And I was like, I don't have the strength to carry this, but I need to carry it. And that's like when I channeled my inner Heath grocery carrying thing that I grew up with, which is as a kid, our family is like, we will do one run of groceries. You are like, that is the game. You cannot be coming back to the car for things. Like,
yeah, the like plastic bags, you have so many of them in your hand. It's like cutting your hand.
You have like the lines on your arm for like an hour later. Yeah, that's our family. So I think, yeah, there is something to be said about like just needing to work some of these emotions out of our body. And I think working out is a great example. Walking is a really good example of that. Movement for me is just so important. But if you can't do that, I think even just like writing things out or I don't know. And maybe people aren't feeling the rub in the same way I am, but I just have felt this sense of like, I went to Lauryn Hill last night, which was incredible. And Lauryn Hill, you know, and the refugees, the Fugees, bring up all these like questions about race and reconciliation, like all this stuff. And I was thinking about like, oh, do they feel like they need to comment on everything that happens? Because they are experts in that field.
1 Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.
Yeah, I think it's always funny because we both kind of work in more like white collar-ish settings. But you like, I feel like it's funny because it's like we have to like make up physical activity for us to do. I feel like, because it's just, you know, that's what our bodies aren't meant to just sit around for a while, forever. I think that's an important practice for me, just to get out of, and even just get out of my head. Because, you know, anxiety, I mean, it's just, the research is pretty clear that physical activity of some kind, whatever you can get, and it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be like some weird, I'm just going to go on like a weird influencer morning routine rant. Like everyone, I feel like everyone's trying to sell you a morning routine now that's like wake up at 4 a.m.
I have noticed that.
Sleep, honestly, sleep is like the number one wellness plan. So like, don't be waking up at 4 a.m. if you don't have to. Like, why would you do this to yourself? You know, like, so yeah, sleep. You need to do that. But yeah, I just feel like there's sometimes this like pressure to like do all this stuff. It's like, no, like find the thing that works for you. Find the physical activity that works for you. For me, it's lifting weights. For other people, it just might be walking. For someone who's, you know, confined to a wheelchair or just not able to just do a lot of those things, just being in the sun or being or engaging in some kind of like, you know, tactile thing is important. And that's, and these things are all great. These things bring us into ourselves. And that's a wonderful thing. And so much of our life is disembodied, which right. is and again, this isn't a bad thing. It's just more of a, like, we need to be mindful of it. Like, dessert's not a bad thing. But if you have only dessert all the time, then it becomes a problem. And so I think kind of the ways we move in and out of work is, it's important. And I think sometimes we can get so engaged and sucked into like the news cycle. I mean, especially the current news cycle right now is horrific. Like,
it is. And we should be shocked. We should be appalled. We need look at it for sure.
But you also need a break from it if you aren't a reporter or a doctor working in Gaza right now. It's okay to take a breather, you know, because I mean, for me, I've got like I have to like maintain a job to support a livelihood for like myself to eat and for kids. Like, I can't be breaking down in tears constantly because mm-hmm. you will.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just this odd balance that we find ourselves in. And again, having been a former pastor, there is a certain amount of like, well, I need to be involved.
Right.
Like, I need to be a part of this discourse. And
will I matter if I don't?
Yeah.
I think that's the question. I'm more and more convinced that the question that most of us as humans are asking is, do I matter? Do I matter in this space? Do I matter to these people? Do I matter? What is my work to do? I mean, I think that's the case with all the clients that I coach, even from like business executives to like former clergy trying to figure out the next thing is how do I put my stamp on this world? Because we've been given this really, you know, from all the worship songs back in the day, like, we're going to be the generation, you know, we really, really matter. And I think so. Well, two things I was thinking as you were speaking. I think my friend who actually lives in a wheelchair always says, don't say I'm confined to a wheelchair. Say I live in a wheelchair. And I love that because I think it does say there is movement available if there is movement, even if it's just whatever it might be. So I was just thinking about that. Then the other thing I was thinking is some of this, do I matter stuff? One of the reason that I loved church community so much is that I got to be around people who are of different ages. So I went to lunch this week, and you were on the phone with me when I did it. I went to lunch this week on Thursday with, I call them my board of directors. There's four of them, but only three could make it. They're guys who are in their 70s and 80s, and they have lived incredible lives. One was a nonprofit manager. One is like a businessman who's like so good at that. The other one worked in like paint supplies and like just like construction world and owned his own business, and just, they're the neatest guys. And I had gone through a really rough night the night before where some stuff in my personal life was difficult. And I wasn't in a super great headspace. And then I sat with people who are older than me, and I had this really powerful moment where one of them, with tears in his eyes, told me how much I have meant to him. And I had this moment of thought, like, when we are around people who are of different generations, we have the opportunity to not think that we have to matter so much. Because I think we're always worried that this is the moment and I need to do the thing. And if I don't do the thing, and maybe you don't think this, maybe you're not an Enneagram 3 who's like running around anxious that you're not doing the right thing. But I think, you know, there is this fear that if I miss the moment, right? And so to sit with people who are older and can reflect back to you that, like, there's always going to be emergencies, Sarah, and there's always going to be tough stuff, but in this moment you matter. And I think that's the piece that so many people, particularly leaving ministry, it's like, you matter because you matter, not because of what you're bringing into the world or saying or doing. And if we're in an influencer world, I mean, I think about even like going to this concert and seeing all these people like taking selfies of themselves there. Like, are they there or are they like there to create a moment online so that everybody can be jealous that they weren't there, you know? And it's this idea of, do I matter? So I love that question that you posed even from the very beginning is like, is this really me? Am I someone who does this thing? Like, what is mine to do and be in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And can I, if I'm not that person, are there voices that I can magnify that are those people? Because that might be my role. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think, like, I think it takes us being intentional about just how we interact in these spaces and how much space we're taking up too. Mm. Like, I think, again, as a former minister, I'm kind of used to walking into a room and taking up a significant amount of space, you know, leading volunteers, like you're the one in charge, mm-hmm. you know, when you're going to a church board meeting, like you're a significant member there, you know, and just kind of going on down the lines, you know, in my job, I'm typically like someone who's supposed to be there and supposed to take up space, supposed to speak up. And now it's like, am I supposed to do that now? Like, or can I be quiet? Do I even know how? Like, I mean, that's like, did I get into the job that I got into because it gave me an excuse to just speak up all the time? You know? And now it's like, oh, I've had to cultivate that whole, like, let's wait a second or two because maybe someone else could speak up that actually really their voice is more important or more necessary in this moment.
Right. Because it can feel like a big burden, you know? What if I screw this up?
And it's self-inflicted, you know, like, and it's especially self-inflicted when it's like, you're no longer part of a church. Like, no one's asking for this. Like, you know, you're just doing it to yourself. And again, like, maybe it's necessary. Maybe it is. Maybe you are the best person to speak to whatever this is, but maybe not.
Yeah. So I think I'm really glad that we had this conversation because we were both like, what do we do? What do we say? And to pause and take a beat and say, or do we say anything? Like, not speaking feels whatever, but sometimes I think just magnifying other voices and then getting really grounded in ourselves. I've been listening to a bunch of audiobooks because I'm either listening to a podcast or an audiobook when I'm underneath my Airstream or like really melodic music. But I've been thinking a lot about this idea of like, what are the things that ground mean? One of the practices that one of these books was talking about was this idea of like just doing like a sensory, like when you're going through all of this stuff and it feels so overwhelming to like actually look around you and go, this desk is brown. I'm smelling what smell? Like check in with all your senses and be really present to it as a way of like allowing yourself to feel whatever emotion it is and also getting really into your body so you're not disembodied in that moment. So as we're trying not to be reactive in our work and trying not to feel the pressure to react all the time, because that's not, it fried out my central nervous system. I know that much.
Yeah.
Well, do we?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I just think it's like, we have to learn how to take care of ourselves now. Like, you know, we're in a role where it was like kind of the opposite of the flight attendant kind of thing. It's like, get on everybody else's air mask first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, oh, there's no more air masks left.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an important conversation. So I'm so glad we had it. Please, friends, weigh in. Like, you know, I love these episodes. That's just Justin and I, but like, what are the ways that you, in such a reactive world, how do you figure out what to talk about, what not to talk about? How do you know what's yours? And how do you give yourself space for your central nervous system to like calm down? And maybe it's just like, you're like, I'm not an influencer. I'm not worried about it. But yeah. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Rev Cover. You got anything else, Justin?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. Have a great week, friends. And we will catch you on here. Or you can always join us in the Recovery Room Discord, which is one of my favorite places to be. So we will. That's through Patreon. I'm sure a commercial will run and then we'll tell you more. All right. Bye.
For First Corinthians warned you about the women with a loud mouth, and this podcast is just that. Here at the Speaking in Church podcast, we talk all about the regular people and the things that regularly happen to them in the evangelical church. It's a podcast about change, it's a podcast about seeking moral high ground, and it's a podcast for people who are just trying to deconstruct on the safe side. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to be a guest, yes, you, regular person, you can be a guest on the Speaking in Church podcast. If you want to come on, just let us know.